You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Andrew Hettinger, and joining me shortly is going to be Adam Wheeler. This week, we're going to do something a little different, kind of go back to the past a little bit and do what we call uninterrupted. This is where Adam and I both just take a little bit of time and talk about a topic without interrupting each other. There's no banter. We recorded this separately. Some of that's scheduling, but some of it's just a desire to talk about a topic like this. Today we're going to discuss when you have bad days on race day and kind of how to, you know, overcome that. And, you know, you can do everything to prepare yourself for the start line, but things happen. Weather happens. A bad day just happens. Illness, lack of sleep, you name it, there's a bajillion things that can go wrong. And, you know, we know it's very difficult. It can be very dejecting, and it can be, you know, it can take the joy out of running to have something that you work so hard for taken away from you. And, you know, but there's just ways to maybe kind of deal with that and process it properly. As opposed to, you know, maybe shutting down and hating running or starting to run the wrong way, which, you know, I guess in my mind would be running solely for a goal instead of for all the positive effects that it can have, you know, the health effects, the mental health effects, and just enjoying running. Those are the reasons we do it. And, you know, great results should be a complement to that, not the sole focus. Just a few things to talk about. Really love what Adam had to say. I'm going to let him carry most of this because he brings up almost every point that I would, but, you know, I'm going to be on the back end, ready to just talk about a couple races that I had last year that didn't give me the result I wanted. Before I throw it to Adam, just do want to ask that you know, I do this every week. I'm going to ask every week. Like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Definitely check out rustbeltrunning.com. Learn more about our different offerings in run coaching. Fall training, believe it or not, is right around the corner. And now is the time to start getting ready for fall training. So go to rustbeltrunning.com. Sign up for a free consultation where you can meet with me, Adam, or Matt Martin. And we can discuss your running goals and what training might look like for you and see if it's something that you'd be interested in. There's no obligation with that. And we just want to help. We do legitimately want to help people just become better runners. So, check out rustbeltrunning.com. Go to join Team Rust Belt Running, and you can schedule a time to meet with us. And, yeah, we really want to help you guys. So, that's pretty much it. I think that is it. So, hey, Adam, why don't you take this away?
Thanks, Andrew. So talking about bad days and overcoming bad days, just really quick background of mine. Ran Boston this past week and just had a really bad day. It was temperatures hit into the low to mid 70s. It was the hottest Boston Marathon that's been run since 2017. I think the second hottest since 2012. I am not a good warm weather runner. When temperatures initially change, it usually takes me 2 to 3 weeks to adjust. And so you throw all those conditions together, give me the first real warm day that I have to run in. With the weather changes, I was fighting just some sinus stuff, and it all added up to just a god-awful day. And that's a really bad place to have a god-awful day. It's a tough course. It's an emotional course. It's a course where you feel like, you know, Boston, because of the work that goes into getting there, the really, really good days feel like they're a little bit better. And as I've discovered now, the really, really bad days feel like they're a little bit worse. And it was a rough day that day, and it's been rough just kind of processing it. So I want to talk about just some of the strategies that over the years that I've worked on, and even some strategies that I'm employing now to help me get past what was a really bad and very disappointing day for me. So the first one, the 48-hour rule. I think I've heard it is the 24-hour rule, the 48-hour rule. We've talked about this before on the podcast. The general idea with this rule is that you set a time before a performance, and whether it goes well or whether it goes really, really poorly, you basically set a self-determined amount of time, and say, okay, I'm gonna take 48 hours to basically feel whatever emotions I feel and not really think about anything but those emotions. But then once that time is up, I'm gonna start doing the work to get beyond this. Now, there's a couple things that are important here. Number one is that doesn't mean that after 48 hours, just magically, boom, my bad day's over, no big deal, I'm over it. That's not what we're saying. The idea with this rule is essentially that you want to start focusing on doing the work for the next thing. Post-marathon, what does that necessarily look like? I like to take time off. I wasn't running, didn't even feel like running a couple of days after Boston. For me, one of the practices that I like to engage in after a race is to sit down and look at how training for that race went. What went well? What didn't go well? What did I learn? What do I need to maybe look at to research to better understand for my next training cycle? And rather than after 48 hours continuing to wallow and feel bad about how the race went, I forced myself to sit down and start looking at what had gone well for me. What hadn't gone well? What did I learn from the race that I could apply to races going forward? The idea with this rule is just essentially that you always want to be looking at what the next thing is. You know, enjoy the triumphs and mourn the losses, but then after that amount of time, move on. Take some time, move on, and start doing the work to get ready for the next cycle, because that will get you out of sort of the emotional turmoil and it will get you focused on what the next thing is going to be. So the 48-hour rule, step number one. Number two, keep in perspective. When you have a bad day, keep it in perspective with where you've been. This is a bit of a slippery slope because people will tell you like, oh, well, you know, at least you got to Boston. Yeah, absolutely. Like I used to think so much about getting to Boston. I had so many near misses. I had setbacks getting there that I would get emotional thinking about what it was going to be like when I finally got to Boston. It's a really cool experience to be there. You know, regardless of how the race went for me, the experience was amazing. The crowd was amazing. It's weird because I'm simultaneously really annoyed by my performance, but so in love with that race after what I experienced this past Monday. But the fact is that when we are growing, when we are pushing our performance, you know, just simply looking back and saying like, well, it's better than what I used to be. Well, yeah, but you still invested time and energy into getting better. And when you don't hit those goals, it's going to be disappointing. But I do think it's important to look at running as a long-term thing. You don't just race cycle to cycle. You race within multiple cycles over multiple years. And so I think it is handy to look back sometimes and just say, hey, for as bad as this day went, the truth is that I'm a much better and stronger runner than I would have been 2 years ago. I overcame things that, you know, I don't think I could have finished that Boston Marathon when I first started marathoning. And so that is important because just because I didn't take the step forward that I maybe wanted to take, it doesn't mean that I didn't take a step forward. And so keeping that in perspective with where you've been, I think is a really worthwhile thing to do. Something else you should look at after a bad day. Step number three. Bad days tend to show cracks in the foundation, or they tend to show things that you need to work on. You know, I'm a poor warm weather runner. Now, with the way those conditions went, that was a day where I was never going to PR. So, first is you have to kind of reconceptualize what a race might look like to you. If you're somebody that's always going after PRs and the conditions are such that you're just not going to hit it, you just have to accept that. But something that I'm taking away from this race after having gone through it is that I need to invest more time in some of my mental strategies to get through hard moments. You know, when you marathon, you're gonna suffer. You know that. But if you plot it out well, if you pace it out well, typically you can delay the suffering, you know, until maybe mile 18, mile 20, keep it manageable. I wasn't able to do that. I knew at mile 8 that it was gonna be a bad day. I'd started out poorly. I started out too fast. It was a poor strategy, and I paid. But I do think that there are things I could have done mentally to basically try to kind of dial in a little bit more and try to, you know, figure out if I could suffer a little bit longer. Because sometimes what happens is you have some bad moments, and if you're able to get through them, then you're able to find some good moments. You get into a rhythm and you're able to go. And the bad moments started stacking up for me, and I think I could have probably dialed things back without hitting the wall as fast as I did. So that showed me some cracks in the foundation. It showed me some things that I need to work on. And what's good is we're going into warm weather, so I can plan some workouts where I take myself to the well maybe a little bit earlier than I would typically want to, and basically kind of put myself back into those bad Boston Marathon moments and figure out mentally what are the strategies I'm going to use to try to make this manageable so I can get to the end of the workout, finishing the workout the way that I'm supposed to, finding ways to maybe kind of endure a little bit more suffering and see if I can do that. I don't know if it's going to work. But it certainly gave me a foundation, or it certainly gave me an idea of what I need to add to my foundation to make it more manageable. And the other thing that I did is that this is the first marathon I've run in really warm weather. I don't have experience with it. Intellectually, you know, you're supposed to go out more conservative, but it's another thing to actually be in the moment and not necessarily know how hard you're going until your body goes, dude, this is too hard. You gotta stop now. So it kind of gives me some strategies to start looking at as far as what I might do for the next warm weather marathon. Really dialing things back a little bit harder, slowly kind of building a progression. Going much more conservative than I might want to, and again, it's going to be the sort of strategy that if I have to use it again, I'm definitely not going to come close to a PR, but it's maybe going to allow me to slowly build into a more manageable pace down the road that hopefully, if I plan it and structure it right, I'll be able to finish the race feeling strong, much stronger than I felt on Monday. And that really rolls me into the next point, which is that on a bad day, especially if you're really kind of type A, wired to really chase goals, it really helps to maybe look at reconceptualizing what a good race can be. A good race doesn't just have to be a really fast time. A good race can be going out and going through progressions to where you start more conservative and you slowly progress to where you're able to finish the race feeling strong. Maybe not PRing, but feeling really strong and feeling like, yeah, you know, I ran that race in a manageable way. I ran it hard, but I was able to cross the finish line still upright, still feeling strong. I didn't have to stop. I didn't have to walk. I didn't have those moments where my pace is really yo-yoed back and forth. Like, that's a really good race performance. I think when I look back on this past Monday, what I really find myself disappointed in is that I didn't put in that sort of performance. You know, not a PR type performance, but a performance where I really, you know, handled the pacing well, handled the conditions well, and slowly progressed my way forward to where I was able to finish strong. You know, maybe for others, you know, a lot of people that I know that handle that race well, they kind of treat it like a fun run. They went out, they high-fived people, they hugged people, they stopped, they drank, they had popsicles. Our athlete, Erica Gennaro, she killed it. She basically went out with a fun run, I'm not gonna crush myself sort of mentality, and she ran really well. I mean, if you compare, I think, me relative to my top-end performance and her relative to her top-end performance, she got so much more out of that race because she went into it much more relaxed, much more detached from a time goal. And she ran really strong doing it. And so I think when you can reconceptualize a race and figure out a way to, you know, pace it out so that you feel stronger at the end, or go out and fun run it and enjoy more things that you might enjoy that you don't typically allow yourself to enjoy when you're going after PRs, you know, reconceptualizing what a good race can be is a really good strategy for a day where you know that those tight, you know, those A, B, and C goals are just not possible. You're not going to hit them. And then the last one, get perspective. I've talked about this on our social media channels in the last couple of months. You might come out of a bad race and feel like, wow, I'm the only one that could have screwed that up that bad. Odds are that's not going to be the case. There's going to be a lot of other people that did it. I had multiple people reach out to me and tell me, hey man, listen, you know, you are hardly the only one that had a bad race like that. I know a lot of people that went out there and had bad races. It's just a tough day. Boston's a tough course. You know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, move on. And that's helpful. It's helpful to know that. I think it's also helpful to, you know, to talk to some people and talk to them in a way, kind of go through your experience to where there's not necessarily an end goal of getting more insight into how it went. Just simply acknowledging that, hey, we both had a really bad day and it sucks and we're struggling to handle how that went. I had a friend, we were talking a couple of days before the race about how our training had gone and some of the things we felt good about and some of the things we felt bad about and how we were hoping that was going to play out on race day. And we both blew up. And he was nice enough to reach out to me the Friday after the race and just ask me, like, hey man, how are you holding up? Because mentally, I'm really struggling getting over this. And what was nice is in talking back and forth, what we realized is that, one, we knew that we weren't going back to Boston for a couple of years. And so it's really bitter to come away from the race having that be our final memory of it, you know, for at least a couple of years. We're not gonna have a chance to rewrite it for a while. Two, because it's Boston, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, Boston heightens what good days feel like and it heightens what bad days feel like. And so a really bad day for both of us just feels worse because it's the Boston experience. And then just, you know, we race to run well. You know, we train to really try to get the most out of our racing. And even if that doesn't mean hitting time goals, we want to race intelligently. And we didn't do that. We didn't feel like we did that. And it was nice because at the end of the conversation, we came away and neither of us felt like we felt better. But we felt like, hey, it's really nice to know that somebody else is struggling in exactly the same way, and we know we're gonna get over it. But in the meantime, We know it was a tough time, and we acknowledge it was a tough time, and it was just helpful to know that somebody else was out there feeling the same exact way. So five things. 48-hour rule. Give yourself that time where you're going to feel bad and then decide you're going to get to the work and move on. Keep it in perspective with where you've been. Realize that you've still grown as a runner even if you had a bad day. Think about what you can add, you know, what cracks in the foundation were exposed, and figure out what you can do to solidify that foundation for the next race that you have. Think about what else a good race can be that doesn't just attach itself to a really good time goal, and then just get perspective. Talk to others, find out how they feel, find out how their races went, realize that just because you had a bad race does not mean that you're alone. So those are my five tips, and hopefully you find these a little bit helpful. And I'm picking myself up and dusting myself off, and there'll be another race, and there'll be another cycle, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that brings. And Andrew, I'm going to take that back to you now.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. That's all really, really good stuff. And I really can't do much more, but just try to kind of complement it with some of my own experience. And, you know, a couple things to kind of point to is, you know, I talked a lot about Erie, but I haven't talked a lot about Chicago that I ran last year. That race, much like Erie, got kind of rough early for me. I wasn't going to stop, though. Erie, I decided I was going to do one loop and call it a half and call it a day. I wasn't about to do that in my first major. So I was able to kind of, you know, keep my head up and keep moving forward, even though the wheels kind of came off early for me in that race. And, you know, I've never, like, I try to think back through my full marathons, and I don't think, besides my first, that I've ever been as emotional as I was after Chicago. I think sometimes when things are rough, when you go through, like, whether it's weather or just a day that's not your day, I think there's something to be said for crossing that finish line. And when I crossed that finish line that Sunday in October, I was so overcome because I was in such a dark place. Early in that race, I wasn't in a dark place that was like dangerous for me to be in, where I, you know, maybe shouldn't have run or something like that. It was just a tough day overall. I suffered with some shoulder pain, maybe from like driving a lot or whatever it was. And it just every step was just kind of a new adventure in discomfort. And when that starts to hit early, yeah, it throws you into a dark space. But I finished, and I remember just thinking, I did it. Like, I fought through all of that, and I did it. And I had to go and do it again a week later. You know, and I think that sometimes we need to put running in perspective, and it's difficult because it's such a goal-oriented sport. You spend so many weeks, maybe so many different cycles, training for a specific goal. And when you get to that race, and especially if it's something that's out of your control, steps in the way of it, it's really, really difficult to deal with that emotionally. So I think sometimes it's important for us to remember, especially in the social media day and age, that finishing a marathon or a half marathon, or whatever race you're looking at, it's an accomplishment, and that should be celebrated. Maybe we don't always get the result that we want, but if you put in the training and give yourself a chance on race day, even if things don't come together for you, finishing that event is remarkable. And that's what I felt at Chicago. Let's fast forward a couple months to the end of February, where I was starting to get back into shape. I was starting to pick up some workouts. I was starting to up my mileage a little bit. And then one day at work, my back just was like, nope, You're not going to be lifting stuff or really getting off your feet much for a little while. And I was not able to put in a whole lot of mileage in March. And that was not at all what I had in mind. I wanted to spend this spring getting fast at shorter distances, and had registered for a 10K that actually took place this morning as I record this. And I didn't know what to expect after all of that. I went in with the idea that I want to break like 40 minutes. I want to run like a 38-minute 10K. That was kind of my goal, which would have been low sixes. That was what I was thinking was attainable for me at the high end. I mean, that would have been the very high end of what I could have done this day. But I was not able to run much in March. Just kind of picking up a few miles here and there where I could, that would allow me to kind of stay in some shape. And then I got back into what I could as my back improved. I tried to get mileage back and do it in a way that wouldn't, bring the injury back and make it more of a problem for me. I mean, I need it for work too, and that pays my bills and feeds my family. So I had to focus on that first and foremost. And yeah, it was not an ideal March for me. But then I get into April, I stayed dedicated to getting into condition, to getting into shape, to making the gains that I would expect my athletes to be able to make, but doing it smartly. I wasn't going to pick up where I left off. I had to kind of start from scratch again. I knew I was not going to be able to get the result that I would have gotten if I was not injured in March. So I altered my goals. And I think, one thing that Adam brought up is, what good came out of it? And maybe we can't, I mean, and this is, I guess, maybe kind of a combo of what can happen on the bad days. And, maybe a way to even avoid them. If you're looking at your foundation, I consistently talk with our athletes about we're building a wall. It's been an analogy I have used for years. You can go back through so many episodes of this podcast and hear me talk about building a wall. The idea being we're laying bricks and we have to lay them straight. We have to do things the right way because if one brick is off, even by a little bit, as you build the wall, you're going to notice that your bricks are not laid straight. So to build your wall straight, sometimes you have to look and you have to say, where are my bricks crooked? And is my wall straight going into my race? And if it isn't, maybe you need to alter your expectations. That way you aren't disappointed on race day. That way you can go in and say, I wanted to run a 38-minute 5K or 10K, but now I'm looking at, maybe a 42-minute. If I can break sevens, I'm gonna be happy. If I can run, sub sevens for the whole race, I'll be good. You got to be able to have that flexibility throughout your training and as race day approaches. Because if you don't, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. And the thing that sucks with getting disappointed in a race result is we do this thing called running because we enjoy it. Yes, there are health benefits, both physically, mentally, and even emotionally, that we get out of it, but at the same time, like we do this because we enjoy it. That is the primary reason why we run. And if we get so wrapped up in our results that if things don't go our way, whether it be injury during training cycle, bad weather, it isn't our day on race day, whatever the illness, like whatever the hindrance is on a positive result. You know, it's like it takes the joy out of it. Don't let that be hindered. And we do it because we enjoy it. And I think that's something to always try to keep in perspective and to keep your goals manageable. Yeah. That's kind of what I got. It's okay to be disappointed too. Like Adam said, you know, 24, 48 hours of kind of wallowing a little bit and then kind of what's next. So, and if you need any guidance on what's next, you know where to find us. We are always down, always looking for people to help. You can go to rustbeltrunning.com, learn more about us. You can sign up for a free consultation, talk about fall training, what you want your goals to be. And, you know, we'd love to help you reach them. So that's what I got for today. I thank you so much for listening to us, spending some time with us. You can go follow us on Instagram at Rust Belt Running. I am at Andrew Runs a Lot. Adam is at Wheels Up in CLE. And yeah, we look forward to talking to you again. We're going to be back together. We got episode 200 coming up. So it's about to get real, guys. But we wanted to take this time and talk about this. And yeah. So, all right, warm weather is coming. Summer is coming. Fall training is coming. Make sure that you're laying those bricks straight so that you're ready for race day. And keep your results in perspective. And enjoy those miles, everybody.